Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today and the truth of the Bible. Now, in our first segment, the biblical truth concerning creation, we saw how that God created first the heavens, and then the angels, and then the earth. And he originally created the earth for the angels. Now, what happened to the earth that, as we saw in Genesis 1:2, it became covered with water, a flood? Why was it in chaos and confusion? God doesn't create things in chaos and confusion. We find in the book of Jeremiah that when there is war, there's chaos and confusion and everything is upside down and backwards. Well, since the earth became in chaos and confusion, and God is not the author of confusion, 1 Corinthians 14, how did it become that way? And why was it flooded? Well, the answer is with the angels. Come back here to Job 38 and verse 6. On what are the foundations, that is, of the earth, fastened to? Or who has laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? When the earth was created for the angels, and that is the sons of God, the morning stars. Now, this is symbolic of angels. It couldn't be stars because, as we will see in a little bit, how there was rebellion by the one who became known as Satan the devil and the angels. See, because God gave free, independent moral agency. Independent, free moral agency, and we can have an acronym for that, IFMA. All of us must choose. The angels themselves must choose. When we go against God, that's sin. And the penalty for sin is misery and chaos and confusion and upset lives. Correct? Yes. Well, let's see what happened when the angels rebelled. Now, Revelation 12, let's pick it up at verse 1. Now there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, having the moon under her feet, and on her head was a crown of 12 stars. This is symbolic of God's plan. And being with child, she cried in travail and was in pain to deliver. That's a prophecy of the coming Messiah. And another sign was seen in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on his heads. Now the Bible describes that as Satan the devil. And his tail swept away a third of the stars of heaven and cast them to the earth. Now, these were angels, not literal stars. If a third of the stars of heaven were cast to the earth, there would be no more earth. And we find in verse 7, and there was war in heaven, and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon and his angels warred. But they did not prevail, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now, let's see how that started. Come to Ezekiel chapter 28. How did it start? How did it go from perfection, that is the earth, to chaos and confusion? What was it that took place? Who did it? Who started it? Let's pick it up here in verse 13. You have been in the Garden of Eden. Stop and ask a question here. Who was in the Garden of Eden? Now, that was after the creation of Adam and Eve. God created the Garden of Eden. There was God. There was Adam. There was Eve. And then the serpent, who was Satan, the devil. Those were the only four who were in the Garden of Eden. After that, God closed off the Garden of Eden, so no one could go in there but God himself. So this has to refer to the one who became known as Satan the devil, the great red dragon. Little sidebar. Stop and think of all the religions of the world. How did they all start out with a serpent?
Oh, look, horned vipers. Another snake.
Let's read on here. Every precious stone was your covering, then list all the precious stones. The workmanship of your settings and the sockets was prepared in you in the day that you were created. So angels are created beings. The one who became Satan was one of the covering cherubs, as we will see here. And he used his independent free moral agency to rebel. Let's see how that happened. Verse 14, you were the anointed cherub that covers. I have set you so. You were upon the holy mountain of God. That's where the throne of God is. Wherever it is in heaven. And it's a whole lot closer to the earth than we've ever thought. Sometimes we think, oh, it's way, way out there in the universe, and God has just gone off and left the world alone to itself. Now continuing, you have walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Now, where the throne of God is, there's a great sea of glass. Verse 15, you were perfect in your ways from the day that you were created. By choice, he was perfect. He was perfectly created, and he perfectly served God, and he perfectly was there at the throne of God, on the mountain of God, on the stones of fire, until iniquity was found in you. Now, iniquity is sin. Hold your place here and come to Isaiah 14. And let's see what that iniquity was. And let's see why he drew a third part of the stars or the angels of God. And when Satan fell, he took a third of the angels with him. He became Satan the devil. He was called the morning star. He became Satan the devil, and the angels that followed him became demons. Do we find a lot of encounters by Jesus Christ and unclean spirits or demons or fallen angels in the New Testament? Yes, we do. Now here is how it started. Verse 12. Oh, how you are fallen from heaven, O shining star, son of the morning. How you were cut down to the ground, you who did weaken the nations. Now here is his sin. Where does all sin begin? When we're given free moral agency. Right here. In our minds and in our hearts. We are free to choose to do right or not do right. But it's a choice. It's no accident. It's no happenstance. Now it says in Matthew 24, verse 10, that many will be led into sin. That's exactly what the morning star, who became Satan the dead when he fell, he led many of the angels in to sin, a third of them, and they followed him. Okay? Here was his sin. I will ascend into the heavens. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. That's over all the angels. And I will also sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. So the clouds are on the earth. So God gave the angels their first estate, their first habitation was on the earth. And they had access to God. Here is his sin. Verse 14, I will be like the Most High. Be like the one who in the New Testament is called God the Father. So this is going against God himself directly. Lifted up in pride. Looked at his glory and said, well, look at me. I'm one of the anointed cherub that covers, and I have great and grand glory. I know what I'll do. I'll get these angels to follow me, and we will come into the heavens and make war against God. Well, they were cast down to the earth, and there was war on the earth. That's how the world became in chaos and confusion. Genesis 1 and verse 2. All right, back to Ezekiel 28. Verse 15. You were perfect in your ways from the day you were created until iniquity was found in you. Which was what? To rebel against God and take over God, throw him out, and rule the universe himself. By the multitude of your merchandise, they have filled the midst of you with violence, and you have sinned. Therefore, I will cast you as profane from the mountain of God, and I will destroy you, O covering cherub, from the stones of fire. Now that means to absolutely remove from heaven. That doesn't mean to destroy him. Now, you go to our series that we have online here at Church at Home, and you get the whole story. Okay? We're just summarizing it here. Verse 17, your heart was lifted up because of your beauty, and you have corrupted your wisdom by the reason of your brightness. I will cast you to the ground. And because this war was so awesome and fantastic that God had to flood the whole world. And that's how it became flooded the first time. Now let's come to the book of Jude in the New Testament. Book of Jude, the last one of the general epistles. And we find out that the angels rebelled. Jude verse 6. And the angels who did not keep their original domain, but deserted their habitation, he's holding in eternal bonds under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. What was covering the earth? Total darkness. So they didn't want to stay on the earth. They wanted to go up and take over the throne of God. Now, all of that is in the Bible to help us understand between Genesis 1:1 and Genesis 1:2. So we can put it together to understand that it was not six literal days of creating all the heavens and all the earth. Let's come back to Genesis 1 again. And let's look at these verses now with the understanding that we have. and it brings us a complete picture that expands it out to give us the understanding of God, rather than just reading it and assuming what so many people assume. See, because the Word of God is so fantastic and great, it has everything we need in it to understand who God is, who Satan the devil is, who we are, why we're here, where we're going, and the plan of God. And in the booklet, Geology, Catastrophism, and the Scriptures, it brings out these details so you can understand it and see it in print. Verse 1, in the beginning God, he was there before there was anything else, created the heavens first and the earth later. Now, how much time is involved? Could this be billions of years? Very possibly. And how about the earth? How long were the angels faithful living on the earth? Because they shouted for joy and were happy when God was creating it for them. And then the one who became Satan the devil, the bright and morning star, was the one who said, I will ascend on high. I will be like the Most High. Look what happened. Another lesson. No one can fight against God and succeed. That's why there is righteousness and sin, good and evil. That's why we have to choose, and that's why the angels had to choose. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, so it could be billions of years. Now, you will find in this book that the disasters that killed all the dinosaurs, they were part of the first world.
The fossil record is filled with giant creatures and plants. We know this because there are billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. And when we look at the dinosaur fossil record, we see that they were buried furiously, rapidly, and simultaneously, oftentimes found fleeing in groups. Take this massive bone bed in Hilda, Canada. Thousands of centrosaurs were catastrophically buried over an entire square mile. Or this one in China, where thousands of different kinds of dinosaurs were simultaneously buried in a single 980-foot-long ravine. There are hundreds of dinosaur bone beds all over the world, including the U.S., where the Morrison Formation covers 13 states and 700,000 square miles. Thousands of torn-apart dinosaurs are buried here in hundreds of mass graves, with many found in the classic death pose with their necks arched back, choking as they died. Museum signs everywhere even admit they died in a watery catastrophe. Some dinosaurs are even found mummified, with tree leaves, flowers, ferns, shrubs, and algae still in their stomach. Dinosaurs are even found buried with marine creatures. Isn't a global flood the best explanation for this?
So what we find here in Genesis 1 is a recreation of the earth for human beings. Verse 2, the earth was without form and void, and we saw how that took place. And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Now was the time, and we don't know how long that it was flooded. We don't know how long it took to get rid of all of the toxicity that took place because of the war. And God said, let there be light. Now, in order to have the light, you have to have what? The sun. So let's come over here to verse 14. Now, this occurs on day 4. But the sun had to be there in order for there to be light on the earth. And the moon had to be there in order for there to be days. So how do we reconcile verse 14? And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide between the day and night, and let them be for signs and for appointed seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God had made two great lights. This is a review of what he did in creating the heavens. And now, made two great lights. The greater light to rule the day, that's the sun. The lesser light to rule the night, and God had also made the stars. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, divide between the light and darkness, and God saw that it was good. So what he did on the fourth day, he put the sun and the moon in the proper position to start keeping times, days, nights, months, years, according to what we now have as the calculated Hebrew calendar. But they were there from the first creation, but with the war that went on, they got all out of whack. And God had to put them back in their places so that we could have the proper day and night and seasons and all of this sort of thing. Verse 5, God called the light day, and he called the darkness night, and the evening and the morning were day one. So this tells us that the earth was again spinning properly. It was in the orbit that it should be, and God was recreating everything for mankind. Now, that's quite a thing for us to understand. Now, in this book, Geology, Catastrophism, and Scriptures, you will have a detailed understanding of the creation of God. Now, in this book, God Know God, we'll send them both to you. We have the CD for both of them. And that will tell you about how it's impossible for there to be evolution. Evolution is a blindness, a figment of the mind. It could never, never happen. And the truth of science is, the more they really learn about the creation of God, the more they ought to understand that God created it.
So, how do they say birds evolved? Well, you pick up the magazines, what do they tell you? Birds evolved from reptiles or dinosaurs. But the problem with that is that bird bones are different than other bones. They are hollow and they're part of the respiratory system. And listen what they say about a bird bone. They are lightweight, thin-walled, reinforced, tubular structure for maximum strength. Not only that, look at their flight and their wing and their muscle system. If a reptile evolves into a bird, then the whole muscle system has to change too. A reptile has muscles above and below to give you this type of motion up and down. But a bird is totally different. The muscles both attach to the keel. They come in from underneath instead. So how do you raise the wing up? Well, there's a special pulley system that the bird has. And what happens is, one of the muscles actually go in through a special hole in a bone. And then it goes through a special pulley that actually goes around and attaches to the upper part of the wing. And then when he wants the wing to come up, that pressure is put on, and their wing elevates. A unique system. Another problem with reptiles evolving into birds is the lung system. Every reptile has what's called a dead-end system as far as its lung. Let me illustrate that. I want you to take a deep breath and hold it. Now take another deep breath on top of that one. And hold it. One more. You can't do it, can you? Why? It's because you have a dead-end system or a bellow system. The air comes in and out through the lung through the very same tubes. But that's not good enough for a bird. A bird has to have a constant flow of oxygen in order to sustain flight. So the air comes in through the lung one way and back out through the lung a different way. That's a continuous flow system or a hose system. Now, how are you going to go from a dead end or bellow system to a continual flow system without shutting down the entire process in the meantime? It's not going to happen by accident, is it? It looks like it was designed. Question for you. Which one of these three items wasn't designed? If you pick the insect, guess what? Denver Museum talks about the dragonfly. In fact, it says, we are now studying the wings of the dragonfly in order to figure out how to produce better aircraft. Again, the same point. If we have to study something that supposedly happened by accident to get a better design, then it too was designed.
Well, we're going to talk about a little later all the atoms in the human body. Now, we've got another book, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God, Why Were You Born? And you contemplate about yourself and your life. And you think about it that you came from a pinpoint of life that was smaller than putting a dot on a piece of paper with a pen. And everything that you are came from the seed of your father and the egg of your mother. And you are a special creation of God for a special purpose. And that's why you need the book, From a Speck of Dust to a Son of God, Why Were You Born? So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. And this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.